pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Sanjay Mudnani, a coffee lover, cyclist, and has been storytelling ever since he can remember. A person who chose to make a career out of it and believes that stories connect because we have a human being on the other side. And human beings are all wired for stories. CMO for 35 years, a marketing strategist, he has helped brands, organizations, startups, solopreneurs, nonprofits to make an impact, stand out, and grow with innovative marketing strategies and storytelling. His strength is his ability to find stories in organizations, founders, employees, clients, communities, people, and build tribes around stories, and has started his own entrepreneurial journey at the age of 50. Sanjay has trained over 500 nonprofits across India in the art and science of storytelling. As a storyteller, he has made 10 short films on Heroes of India and launched the films on YouTube. Listen in as he shares the power of stories, how your story is connected to the brand you love, and even in our lives, it's all about stories because we seem to have forgotten the power of the story that we carry within and how stories are born out of gaps. He's in the process of building one-of-its-kind storytelling experiential lab, bringing together theatre, visual, copy, film and digital formats with Crow Tales Story Room. Hi Sanjay, welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Such a pleasure to have you on this show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here and interested to, you know, have this conversation with you.
You know, what really piqued my curiosity was the fact that you are a storyteller, picking stories from people around us. And that's when I thought that's exactly what I'm doing as well, picking stories of people around us, whether on LinkedIn or on any other platform that I read about, who I personally don't know, but have really been blessed to meet some amazing human beings. So I'm curious, before we get to what you currently do, to what little Sanjay was, to the Sanjay Mudnani that the world knows you today as.
Yeah, so interestingly, I've always been fascinated by stories. It is not something that I started yesterday. And this habit, or you can say the hobby of stories, happened to me from my father. We come from a middle-class family. My father was a war officer in Bombay Municipal Corporation. And in the house, I remember we had a very big bookshelf. So the house was not very big, but the bookshelf was very big. So a lot of books in the house. And then my father had this habit about bringing me a lot of books. So he would always buy me storybooks. It started with the Amar Chitra Kathas, if I remember, my memory goes back, and so many other books that kept on coming in my life, the encyclopedias. So it was always all about books and stories. So right from my childhood, I had a lot of story books around me. And that, when I used to read them, I used to get, you know, almost get into the world of fantasy, as you can say, as a story, when you listen to a story. I got interested in history because, again, it was all about his story. I mean, I see history as his story. And I would see history very differently. So when I would read something in history, I would actually, I remember just almost getting, you know, what is called as a, you know, getting transported to that space and time. I would actually go into that space and time and, you know, feel the history and feel the people and feel the culture and, you know, all that is happening. So I had this, you know, deep love for history and stories. And I was a topper in my school, in the board exam, not just in my school, in history. And I think so it was about, I scored about 97 or 98. I don't remember exact numbers out of 100, you know, which is in a subject like history, you don't easily score that kind of. But I used to love stories from childhood. And that's what I've grown up with, stories. I've grown up listening to stories. I've been fascinated by stories, and I've been on the other side experiencing the story. So stories have been part of my life right from childhood. You know, that's what the childhood Sanjay was. I would read a lot of books, a lot of stories. And that, thanks to my father, I get that, you know, that interest in stories and storytelling.
With this influences stories had on you and history had on you, what did you pursue post your 10th standard?
Okay, so again, the other part, which was a connecting link, was that I loved the stage. So this again accidentally happened once during the Hindi teacher was sitting in the class, in the auditorium, and I was part of the St. Xavier's High School. And we were sitting there, and suddenly the Hindi elocution, the Hindi teacher said, we're going to have a Hindi elocution competition. So who would like to go up on stage and, you know, speak? Now, I didn't know what elocution meant and what it all called for. I said, okay, let me go and, you know, participate in this. And I landed up on stage and I had to speak, and I don't know what happened, but that was another discovery that I had, that I loved the stage. I would get up on stage, and as a child, and there used to be this huge, I remember the auditorium was very big. So you had 400 odd children sitting in that, and it's a dark, you know, there's participating in this Hindi elocution competition. I had all the fear, everything that was going, you know, like that, what you have those things in your stomach before you go up and speak, because you have to not only remember the lines, there is an audience in front of you. So you're live now and you can't make mistakes, and you are there, and a lot of fear was there. But when I started speaking, I got into my zone. I literally zoned into something which was magic, I can say. And when I started speaking again, I was putting my ideas across to an audience. And I love that experience. I incidentally happened to win that at the Hindi elocution competition. That started my journey of participating in every elocution competition, Hindi, English, in school, in college. So from storytelling to actually now communicating with a larger audience on stage with my ideas and my thoughts, again, that was something. I was becoming a communicator. I started understanding this power of communication to, you know, communicate an idea to an audience. And that connected me back into choosing my career, which started with sales, which was an obvious, you know, I mean, it happened first with a hiccup and then it went into sales. So from there, it transitioned to sales, and from sales to marketing. And it was a very interesting journey. So it's been a connecting link in my life. You know, it started from school, went on to the stage. And from the stage, it went on to my professional career, which I chose for myself.
Usually, when it comes to sales and selling, it's all about thinking on your feet. So this skill that you had with theater, with elocution, public speaking, storytelling, all of this together must have been such an asset. So for people who hesitate to speak, because we all know public speaking is such a big fear that people hold, what would you like to tell them on breaking the initial fears of just coming and standing in front of an audience?
So, you know, what I learned from being on stage was that, you know, this initial fear which is there in the stomach, which comes in, you feel that you'll forget your lines, and then you see the audience, you almost blank out kind of thing. But I turned I can look at it as incidentally, the emotion of fear and the emotion of excitement in the body, it feels the same. So fear also brings you, you know, your heart will start palpitating. You'll start feeling certain things. And excitement also makes you like that. You know, it's also the similar physical state that you actually are going through. Now, what is the picture that you hold in front of you? So I can hold the picture of the fear in with me because the emotion is the same. I just created a switch, and that switch is from the fear state to the excitement state. And that's what I learned. So what I learned was when I started going on the stage, I used to say, now is my time. I'm going to just go out there and shine now. I don't care what I remember, what I don't know. I'm just going to have fun. So I would just, the same emotion which is there, the emotion was the same, though it's physically creating the same kind of experience in your body. When you're out there and you turn that into, from fear, you switch to the excitement that is that you're looking forward to, it changes everything. Then you literally get into a zone. And that's something which I found applies in life also. So you go into fear states, which are basically physically the same experience as an excitement stage. Look at a soldier who's fighting a war or a battle. I mean, anybody to go out there and, you know that you can get killed can actually put you, paralyze you. But a person who's fighting for a purpose and for his country and who's going out there is so driven in that moment that he can face that fear coming onto him. He's the same situation, in the same place. One person can actually freeze and the other person can come most alive. So you actually switch. So I learned this experience of ability to switch into making it something very exciting, and that visualization, and that, you know, then after that, it's fun.
Truly, it's fun. Those who have been through those stages, and I'm one of those, I completely understand what exactly you are saying. But I'm curious now, Sanjay. So from sales, you continued in the space of sales for a long, long time. How did your career move?
I started as a product executive. I started into sales, and my very first job in sales, I was fired in the first month of my job. I was selling a product called air curtains, and air curtains, I didn't know, first of all, what an air curtains. Curtain, I understand, but air curtain, I'd seen it for the first time. And within 1 month, I was called by the manager and said, Sanjay, you're not good enough. And I had to give my bag. He had called me to speak to him in the evening, and I had to give my bag, the briefcase, which was given by the company, back to him. I was broken. I was literally shattered. I was like, down in the dumps, because the first job, and you're just out of the campus, and you're out here and you're told you're not good at this thing. And I used that opportunity again to switch. And that switch was, I kept on reading a lot. I read a lot of books. I followed a lot of people. I remember Anthony Robbins was one, Tony Robbins, as he's called. And, a lot of books that I read. I read a beautiful book, which was around and sales as the greatest salesman in the world, by Og Mandino. And so I read and I read and I read, and I got a job offer in a company. I became a product executive. And that organization, using all this experience of what I had learned and what I had picked up, I became a star performer as a product executive. I became the top guy. I was, my product that I had built was competing against the, some of the really advanced kind of, stuff in that space. And I was a top scorer. I was a top, performer in that space. And from there, I got promoted as a branch manager to manage a branch, which was a loss-making branch. I was the youngest branch manager for that particular center. And, for 5 years, it had been in losses running. And so I came in and I completely turned that center around in a very short span of time with the sales team and with everything around that. I got promoted as a regional manager. I went on to head the marketing in that same organization. I took it from less than 10 centers to 120 centers across the country. So from a salesman who had failed and was fired in 1 month, I actually went on to, head an organization, build a kind of a team. And that was something which was really amazing. So when challenges come in, that's another thing which I picked up in that life lesson, was that when challenges come, they can break you or they can actually make you. And I learned the art of actually taking a challenge and making myself. Falling down happens in life. You fall in life. You cycle, you are going to fall. But the actual thing that you learn is how to get back and cycle again. How do you get back and, fight back? And that was something which I picked up there. And I found my love and my career and my profession. And here I was now training salespeople. And I was called on to train the national sales team. I had created something which was, even in sales, I had actually figured out something which was the secret sauce, which could turn around a business. And that's what I did. And that was magical. And from there onwards, it's been 35 years now that I have been in this field of sales, marketing, you know, as a chief marketing officer in many companies I've worked in. Worked for some of the biggest brands in the country. I worked on both the corporate side. I worked on the agency side, co-founded a startup, you know, a lot of things. I've worked for all sizes of organizations. I've worked for some of the biggest of brands. But some of those lessons have stayed consistent over the years.
Yeah, truly. And this journey of yours, just what you just shared with us, from a person who was rejected to a person who went on to actually train people at the national level, how would you and what would you say are those qualities that a person needs, especially when you're rejected right at the beginning?
You know, what happens is every time you get rejected, it seems like the world is over.
Yeah, especially right at the beginning.
Like the world is over and there's nothing to look forward to. And I just put on my LinkedIn post today also that, you know, I've been through a challenging last year. So when things go wrong, you feel the world is over. Everything is, you know, just, I mean, this is the end of it. You lose a job, you lose your business, you lose something. And suddenly you feel that, you know, this is the end of the world. Actually, what I've learned is every experience in life comes to you to teach you something. There's a reason why it exists, and you don't know at that point of time why it has come. You can't connect the dots from where you are. You connect the dots from in the future. You start seeing that the dots connect. It was my failure that got me into becoming what I became. You know, the first job that I failed actually got me to, you know, take this challenge on. So I think it is the important thing to understand is every experience in life has a purpose. Whatever is happening, you don't realize it at the point of time. You don't know what the hell, why the hell is this happening in my life? You question it, but it has got some lesson for you. The point is, are you open to listen to what that lesson is? What it's trying to tell you, what's trying to teach you? It nudges you. Actually, your life is nudging you into a direction, you know, which is what you're avoiding or you're not taking. It's actually nudging you. It's actually pushing you in something. Are you open to listen to it? And then once you listen to it, are you open to act on it? I think these three things, if you're able to do that, you know, you treat every experience as a lesson of life. Pick up that lesson. And then from there, you learn something and you actually start building from there. And it's happened every time. I'm telling you, when I was, you know, around 50 I was in the corporate world for almost 30 years and very successful in a good job, a high paying good job. I could have retired in 10 years, you know, by doing nothing but just being steady and just doing what I was doing. But I was in my comfort zone. Comfort zone is where you get comfortable. I knew everything. I mean, I was ahead of this communications department in this company, and I almost knew the people. I knew the place. I knew the cabin where I used to sit. And I could have just continued, and the people loved me. I was respected. I had everything that I wanted. I could have led a comfortable life and just retired. And that's the time when I actually, you know, said to myself that, you know, this comfort zone is something which the universe doesn't want you to be in. So when people get fired, the one thing that they have to understand is when you don't fire yourself, the universe will fire you. So somehow or the other, it will come and, you know, fire you into something. And so I was not getting fired here, but I wanted to get out of my comfort zone. So I've learned this from life that, you know, you cannot stay in a space, in a place which is getting comfortable and the world is moving that fast. You know, brands, for example, they die when they get comfortable. Any brand, Nokia disappeared from the market because it was comfortable where it was. That's the way they did business for years. Said, this is what it is. Nokia is like this and this is all we make. And they were the leaders. They just disappeared from the scene. The taxis that you knew as at one point of time, which were there everywhere, where are they today? because they were not ready to change when the world was changing around them. And fortunately or unfortunately, the speed of change in the future is going to be very, very rapid.
But I want to take you back again, Sanjay. You know, when you're rejected in your very first attempt at something that you think you're good at, what prompted you to go ahead and try the same thing again, working on yourself? Isn't it natural that, okay, maybe I'm not cut out for this, let me look at something else?
No, so for me, the point was that I loved what I was doing. I was a natural communicator.
Okay.
There was something that I was doing wrong. I was trying to sell to a person who didn't need it.
Okay.
First of all, so I understood when I went and studied the whole thing. So you need to immerse yourself.
Yeah.
And when you immerse yourself, you know, in my heart, I knew that I'm a communicator. I love to communicate to people. I love telling a story. That's something which I was naturally doing, right? So I knew that that's something which I had a skill of. I can get a team fired up with purpose and with passion.
That's now, Sanjay. But early in your career, you were just a fledgling yourself as a salesperson.
And
how
that's
did you know
that,
you had it?
And it's the beauty of the youth, you know. Also, the beauty of the youth is that you're pretty naive, you know, at that point of
yeah.
So
yeah.
that helps you a lot. So for me, yeah, at that moment, it felt like end of the world at that point of time. But at the same time, I also loved it enough to go and deeply study the thing and to figure out,
okay,
how do I, you know, get better at doing this? So if I have to tell somebody is today, if you fail at something, you need to reflect. You need to actually, if I look, take back the lesson from that moment, it would be that you would reflect and you would deeply get immersed into it.
Yeah.
Maybe you figure out some different paths, or you might figure out a different thing for yourself. But you need to immerse with that situation that has happened and go deeper into it to figure out what exactly. It can be a different path that emerges for you, something new that comes up for you. For me, it was natural that I love to speak to people and I love to communicate ideas. And I was a natural storyteller. It was easy for me to move. Actually, once I got this, I could easily move into that first job. And important thing in that my first job, in that job, was that I had Mr. A.D. Narula, who was the boss of the, he was the director of the company. And I remember the interview even today. He said, he spoke to me and I was absolutely very convincing because I could communicate ideas and thoughts very powerfully. He said, Sanjay, I'm taking you on. And he just put like this, you know, gun. Now this is on your head. He said, great, let me take this on. I don't know what I'm taking on. In fact, the subject that I was supposed to sell or create a product, not just sell, I had to now create a product and then sell it. It was a computer course for chartered accountants at that point of time on how to computerize accounting at a time when there was no computerized accounting. It was literally starting. The whole idea of getting accounts into computers was starting. It was always books. That's how it was done. And I was very bad at accounts myself. I didn't love it. Not bad or something, but I didn't love accounts at all. I was a sales guy. I was a communicator. I was a marketing person, naturally outgoing. But I didn't know anything ABC of, you know, I was not somebody who can sell, computerized accounting to a chartered accountant. But then again, I was so immersed with the idea of creating something that I read and I mastered it so much that I remember standing in front of a chartered accountants association with so many chartered CAs, a guy who doesn't understand accounts, who had the fear of accounts, and telling them, you know, how the world is changing for computerized accounting and what is happening and how frauds are happening. And I was telling them technical stuff. And to that extent that I became so good at doing this, that I was invited to speak across the country at different places. And even I remember in those times I've spoken on radio stations where I was called and asked to do programs on radio station. That's how I immersed myself in the product and understanding the product and understanding, more important, the chartered accountant. So the big thing that I actually picked up during the experience was that you need to really in depth understand your customer. you need to really see his, you know, and I could see that their fear was that if I don't learn this, I will be out of the market. I will not be able to compete with other guys who are there in the business, and the whole business is changing. So there was a lot of fear in them. So actually getting into that and understanding them and their pain. And that as a storyteller, you naturally do it because you can immerse yourself into a character. So I can immerse myself into a character very easily. So I could immerse myself. That's how I turned that branch. I observed the salespeople. I saw them sell and I saw them that they're doing it completely wrong. On their head was targets. They would sit into a conversation with a target in their head, and they would see the customer as a target. How much money can I get from this guy? They would see the customer as a money bag. That's what their thinking was. And when I observed this, I was a young guy who had just come in. And, you know, I told these guys, I called all the salespeople. I said, boss, this is not, I mean, just forget your targets here. I said, tomorrow targets, you don't worry. Don't forget. I mean, just forget. They all said, you mad or crazy? You're a new guy. You don't understand business. You're telling us forget target, but target nahi achieve karenge. How are you going to, you know, succeed in this thing? So I said, just leave it to me. You forget your targets. And with no targets, take it out. I just want you to make a friend. Your whole job is to sit there and just make friends in the day. And in the process, as you're making a friend, if you think that this, what you have got to offer, makes sense for this person, give it. It becomes your duty to give it to them. If you think this doesn't make sense for them, it is your duty not to give it to them. Tell them, no, this is not for you. And that's all that I did. And the business, the center became the role model center in the country. It suddenly, you know, that was, it shifted. We became profitable. We became the star center. Because now the salespeople were not selling. They were making friends. And one thing I've learned about sales is, all things being equal, people buy from friends. All things not being so equal, people still buy from a friend.
Yeah.
So here, these were, and for the salesperson, their life changed because now they came into the morning, not with a target in head, but they came in the morning with a joy saying, "Arey yaar, I'm making a friend on this other side." And that's something which is the most powerful thing that I learned in sales and in marketing and in storytelling.
Yeah. That's actually very beautiful. Yeah. So when we talk about friendships and developing relationships, what is your definition of a friend? How did you describe what a friend is?
So friend to me is somebody with whom you can be absolutely open.
Okay.
Who's non-judgmental, and you can do the silliest, say the silliest of things, or, you know, can trust with the silliest of stuff that you've got. And you know that this person is not going to judge you. He's going to be with you. And the person who stays with you in not just the good times, but the real friendship actually shows up when in the toughest of times, somebody stands with you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see friendship as. And it's interesting is that when you go through tough times and you know that some people will not stand by you.
Yeah.
So you also discover who is not your friend, you know. So.
But in a business transaction, when you're going out there as a salesperson, how can this come into play, Sanjay? I'm really very curious.
So, very interestingly, the other thought which always I had is, it's called agenda-less conversations. So in sales or in marketing, we always go with an agenda. You know, it's always, and why sales marketing? Anyway, anything. You do, life, even relationship, we go with an agenda. Ki mera agenda. I'm always looking at my agenda. I'm looking at myself.
Yeah.
Actually, what I had done with the salespeople was to ask them to drop their agendas. Drop your agenda. Tumhara agenda target hai. Tum chodo yaar, uska agenda nahi hai wo. You have to, in a relationship or a friendship, you don't go with agendas. You just go and any meeting, business meeting you get into, if you're getting into it with an agenda that I want to, you know, push this across to the person, there's so much of pressure that you carry on yourself that you miss the person completely. You miss the situation completely. You miss seeing things. You are not seeing because you're so agenda driven. I think the agenda-less conversations is a powerful method where you can actually shift, and you just try it out with any conversation that you have with the person. Drop your own agenda and just get into it, and then see what happens.
Yeah.
Whether it's a business meeting, whether it is a relationship, whether it's a friendship, drop your agenda and just be there for the other person. You know, I think that's something which I would say is a business takeaway from this thought.
Awful, deep, very profound, agenda-less conversations. It seems like a task in today's agenda-driven world, which is always running behind something very purposefully and wanting to achieve it, and everything very tangible. But from what you said, seems like the intangibles are the ones that actually make up the person.
Absolutely.
So coming to the storyteller that you are, as you are moving in sales, because sales is one place where you get to meet so many different people, and each one of us is carrying a story. Each one of us is a walking, talking storybook. But this beautiful work that you're doing, the people that you're meeting, are they people you personally meet or people you read about as well that you find interesting stories around?
I mean, in my career, the fortunate thing for me has been that I have met some of the most amazing business leaders. Mm-hmm. I've met some of the most amazing social sector leaders. I have also met some of the most amazing spiritual gurus. So I have had this vast, and as a storyteller, I've always loved conversations. I love to speak to people. And I'd love to get deeper into a story. I also love to read. It's not that I don't love to read, but I actually love to meet and connect and spend time with people. And and it's been a fantastic journey as far as I said, across business, across social sector, across spirituality. I've met people and spent time with them. I've heard their stories. I've got inspired by their stories. So the stories have shaped me. And I have transferred these stories to people, and I have, you know, done that. So that's something which it's always a person that I spend time with people.
Okay. And who is that one person who continues to stay with you? Because I'm sure of the many stories, there are some of your favorites, but the one story.
So one story that one person who has stayed with me over the years is a business leader that I worked with. And that is Mr. Ashang Desai, the co-founder of Mastek, past chairman of NASCOM, who was my boss, my first boss. There's, in fact, two of them. One is Ashang Desai and another is Sudhakar Ram. Sudhakar Ram was my boss for the longest time in Mastek, again, a co-founder of Mastek, who also co-founded this startup that I worked with him. So Sudhakar is no more, but their influence on me has been tremendous, both Ashank and Sudhakar. They are the ones who have stayed with me over the years. So I think, also Sundar, who's also one of the co-founders of Mastek. So Mastek was a great company I worked in, and the founders of that company, and I have still have the relationship with them. I still connect with them. With Sundar, I keep on working now for some of his the work that he's doing in the social sector. With Ashank, I'm associated because of the Mastek Foundation. I'm a trustee and board member in that foundation. So I still connect with him. I think these three are all amazing stories. I mean, each one of them has got a story that's so powerful that by itself, you can make a film out of them. You know, so that's what I think. Ashank has got a fantastic story. It's a story that every person who's trying to achieve something in life should be listening to, for example. Who comes from, you know, from nothing. That's a story, which I think is very, very powerful. So amazing stories have stayed with me. These are the people that I think, in terms of people, the stories that have stayed with me, who have been there, are these three people.
And have you gone into a place without expecting any story, without thinking of a story, like an agenda-less visit to some place for something else, but you found a story?
Yeah. Just a few weeks back, I met, for example, that went viral, the story which I put out on LinkedIn, which was meeting Mr. Keiki at Starbucks. It went so hugely viral that I had almost 20, as of now, latest count is 24 lakh impressions to that story almost 25,000 comments and things have happened on that one post that I put, and it became so viral. It went beyond LinkedIn. It went into, I saw it suddenly appearing in newspapers and all that. And it was an old gentleman who was sitting next to me, and I was having my Starbucks coffee after my cycling, as I do always. And he was this very old gentleman who was sitting next to me and having his sipping his coffee. And I got interested because I said, the guy, I mean, he's not able to walk properly. He walks in with a stick. Obviously, he's very old. And he's out here, and I see him frequently at Starbucks. And so wondering, what's his story? I mean, what's this guy? You know, what at this age, he's coming here on Starbucks in the morning when I do my cycling. So I spoke to him. There was no agenda. I just spoke to him. And he was a 92-year-old person. And he just said some few simple and basic things. And that story went viral. I just put it out thinking that, okay, this is just one conversation I had with somebody who was having a coffee out there, and I just had a conversation. And the amazing gems that he threw up as a 92-year-old about, and having this whole thing about life, you know, the fact that he can come and walk and takes an auto rickshaw every morning to have his cup of coffee. And it was such a powerful story that, you know, it's moved people across. I mean, on LinkedIn, it's, I think, so one of the most viral posts that recently has, you know, gone. So, yeah, many times you find stories out of no place. I mean, they just happen, you know. So, and because of, I've got this ability to dig and to find. So I just dig and find, and there's a story.
So for content creators also, Sanjay, maybe here you can give a couple of tips on how to dig out a story, how to make sure that you have the essence of what a person carries with him or her.
Yeah. So interestingly, I never make notes.
Ah, okay.
I never make notes. It just goes into my mind because I absorb. When I'm there, I am just there. When I'm with the person, Mr. Keki, for example, speaks so slowly. So I mean, you can hardly hear him. I had to be very observant and very listen to him. So I think the first thing is this ability to immerse yourself completely, not be distracted. Most people are distracted by other things, and they're distracted by technology, and they're distracted by recording or baad mein jaake main usko turn karun. I actually like the history, when I would immerse myself and get into that place, I actually go into the life of this person. So I immerse into the life of Mr. Keki. And I start almost that empathy, that element of empathy that also in sales, I used to tell people that, you know, you be like, you see his pain, get into his shoes. I used to tell them all the time, get into the shoes of that person who's sitting across the table. That ability to, you know, just immerse yourself in that space and that moment and be with that person is the first most important thing that I think, like getting into the character, jo bolte, like, you know, literally in a play where you get into a character. Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm getting into the skin of the person. I'm actually feeling the empathy. I'm experiencing his story. And that's how the story actually happens. You know, it's that ability to immerse. Ability to observe things which are not being told.
Yeah.
There are things which people don't tell. And this is a very powerful thing in marketing. Like some of the products that come out in the space, the real experienced marketeers, the people who have got this, you know, ability to, it's called intuition. Maybe it comes with experience. I can actually, you know, observe and say this, how this market is going to shape up. And research will happen later on. Or research might collaborate, or they might not even, you know, research might not even point towards that. But actually, I've seen in most cases that intuition of observation that comes in, you know, I can stand at a store and observe what is going on. That ability to see that, you know, this is what is happening. So this is what is going to happen. So I do this everywhere that I go. As a marketeer, there's a very natural instinct in me that, you know, I'll get into a space and start observing ki what is really happening in this market. And this is not just data. It's beyond data. Customers sometimes will never tell you what they're wanting. And nobody had said what to tell, told Steve Jobs, you know, there's a need for an iPad. Nobody told him any of the products. I mean, he was a great observer and a great storyteller. One of the finest that we've had. So he was an observer. So that observation skills of things that are told and not told in a story, which you're able to capture, which you're able to gather. And the third is the ability to translate that when you are communicating. It's an art. It's literally like you're doing a painting. You know, it's, I mean, I would say that sometimes I wonder from where my words come. Some of the words that I have written, after I write them, I start thinking, you know, where did this come from? Because I never fancied myself as a good writer. Once I started writing, I don't know, it's like I almost feel like I'm channeled to write. Something that happens when I sit with a story and I start, you know, putting it down, which I can't even understand. Some of those words that I write, I can't understand how they come. And that amazes me. So that ability is an art. I would say that that becomes the art part of the whole thing, of the ability to take that and put it down and then, you know, pass it on. So three things, as I said, is, you know, this empathy, ability to get into the story, immerse yourself, the observation, told what is not told. And third is that, you know, it's a gift which comes possibly from practice, is the ability to craft it like a craft. I see it myself as an artist, as a craftsman, when I start writing my words. It happens. I don't know what's the mystery behind it, but it just channels it to me.
And talking about mysteries, well, 2019, late 2019, early 2020 was when the world was put into a space which was so mysterious that had people told us even in 2019 that there's going to be a time when everyone's going to be in, nobody's going to go out, nobody would have believed that as possible. The pandemic was one of our biggest teachers, and millions of stories came out of it. There were a lot of pause moments for a lot of us, looking at life and understanding relationships and the depth of it. What did the pandemic do to you? Because you're already a storyteller. What did it do to you?
You know, interestingly, yes, that was a point of time which nobody expected. And that we would get out from it also, nobody expected. We thought, okay, what the hell is this world? Is going to be like this? This is going to be life? You know what? I had written a book just before the pandemic. It's called The Storyteller's Secret. It is there on Amazon. In that, I had written about, I had just moved out from the corporate world and I wrote this. And it was a storybook with a message in it. Basically saying that when you get into the nature and be in silence, the nature will speak to you and it will tell you a lot of stuff that you've actually forgotten to listen to. Humans have forgotten to listen to. The birds tell you something. The rivers tell you something. The trees have a story. They tell you something. I think this pandemic was that experience of nature coming to the world and telling us to listen. There are certain things which you need to listen to. And the silence of that, you remember the first few days of the pandemic where everything stopped. Literally the traffic was not there. There was no sound. And you could hear the birds. And you could, you know, see the sky so clear. And, you know, you first time you heard all these things. It was the nature telling you something. So this is what I think the biggest thing for me from this thing was that the nature is telling you something that, you know, you need to do. It's telling you something that's wrong with how we have gone wrong as a civilization, how we have moved far away from what reality, you know, is the nature, how we were intended to be in the nature. And that's why we are facing all these consequences of nature, that we see the climate change, that was the theoretical kind of a thing. We're suddenly seeing the temperatures all over the world, what we are seeing that's going on today. It's happening not on television screens, it's happening in real life. It's not a movie that's playing out, but it's a movie that's playing in your life. And it's because we've gone far away from what the nature is. We're not listening. And we need to get back and listen to it, that you need to slow down, that you need to, you know, connect with yourself, that you need to be more with what's truly important. You know what? We had no e-commerce, which means we could stay with a lot less. It was such a gift to understand that you don't need so much to survive, that we're simply consuming for the sake of consumption. You know, it was telling you something, that it is possible to live an alternative life. When we said that people cannot work from anywhere, people work from everywhere. companies, and I was part of an IT company. I've been part of an IT company. We have this place which you are not allowed to get inside with multiple securities. It's offshoring. And we are told that, you know, that security is there and you cannot do this. Overnight, people were working from home. So, and they have been working from home since then in many of the IT companies. So the point is that the whole thing about trust in people, you know, I can't trust people to stay at home and work. People stayed at home and they worked. They had their lives. They have done everything. You know, in a place like Bombay, the people travel 2 hours one side, 2 hours the other side, 3 hours, 4 hours of life in traveling, doing nothing productive. That amount of time that could be saved, that, you know, you can actually be with your family and that you don't need to pollute the nature and you can consume a lot less. There's so many things out here. Now, interesting thing for me in the pandemic was also that I, because there was nothing to do, and the business suddenly, I just started my business, the business suddenly vanished all over. I said, I want to make films. And everybody thought I was crazy because how can you make a film when you cannot get out of the home? I said, I want to do this as a jugaad. And I want to make films on stories on good. Because the world is having everything gloomy. Everybody is telling a gloomy story. Yeh problem hai. I said, I want to do films on good. I want to speak to people and do films on good. And I had no experience of filmmaking. I had no experience. I had no funds to make films. And it was deep lockdown. I didn't have a team either. And I just wrote a few letters to a few people. And I had the funds. A team happened. And I actually made 7 films in about 30 days. 7 short films. And now it's almost 12 films that we have made. It's called the Heroes of India Project. These films were made during the Daan Utsav. And these are speaking to some of the social sector leaders. So the stories like Adik Kadam and all these that you see, I actually made films on these stories. And I use a jugaad as a method to do it. We recorded from mobile phones on the other side. And we actually took the stills and we got it. And I got a very... And that's what... Interestingly, we had those 7 films which were very powerful. So I actually learned the art of storytelling through films in this time of pandemic. It also gave me that thing, you know, anything that you want to do is possible. Yeah. It's only your mind that stops you from saying that it's possible. But you can do anything that you wish to do.
That's so true. That's so true. Even this podcast was born in the pandemic. It was last Feb that I started the journey of looking for people who've gone beyond themselves to make a difference to the world. Again, positive stories was what I was collecting. And as we move towards the end of the conversation, Sanjay, is there something that you want to tell us about sales, selling, marketing, branding, all put together and storytelling?
Yeah, so I will get there. But just before that, I'll just want to leave something more important as a message that I've picked up in my life. And this is something which I picked up. So when I was, I tell you that 50, you know, I started, I got out of the corporate world. I'm in a very comfortable job and a very comfortable situation. Many people said I was mad. I was being foolish. Today, interestingly, people are told after 50, you're not needed. I mean, that's what the new... conversation that's going on in the corporate world, which is saying that beyond 50 people are, I mean, it's better to get a person who's much younger than having. But I jumped at the age of 50 from a very steady and comfortable job into doing something which I wanted to do or wanted love to do. And I can looking back 7 years now, 7 plus years that I've been, it's the most amazing journey that I've had. You know, I got out. I did a co-founded a startup. I started, two different businesses, which I created. I made these films that I spoke to you about, those 7 short films that I made in those 30 days. I published 2 books during this period of time. I started cycling. I have cycled places. I have cycled distances. I have become a cyclist, and I found my love for cycling. I wanted to sleep under the waterfall, next to the waterfall. Under the open sky. And I did that in a very heavy rains and monsoons. I actually did that. And I wanted to see the stars and I wanted to see the moon, you know, the planets. And I actually got myself a very, you know, advanced telescope. And I actually did that. I love to sing in the studio. And I wanted to record my song in a studio. I actually went ahead and did that. I recorded it there on YouTube, that song which I put out. And I made a small studio at home. And when I started singing, when I wanted to do. So the point which I'm getting at is that I understood that we don't have forever. And the time that we have on this planet is limited. We live with a lot of dreams. A lot of people have carry a lot of dreams. And they're always driven by that fear. What will happen if I move out from where I am? What will happen if I move out from my comfort zone? I'm used to this. If I move out, what happens? I don't know. But I tell people, and after my experience, not because out of some theory or some book that I'm reading now, that if you don't do that, you are not being alive. The life is asking you to do something. It's not just about breathing that makes you alive. It is what makes you most come alive is what needs to be. So if you've got a dream, don't do it. See, the most dreams actually are buried in the graves of people. You find the most beautiful dreams out there. I tell people now today, if I have to look back and leave a very strong message to anybody, say that, you find your calling. Don't find a job. Find your calling and go for it. Because we are all going to die in the end. So that cannot be moved. The worst situation is you're going to die one day, right? You're all going to die. But while you are here, be alive. And this is what I discovered from, that getting out and, playing out in life is that, this, if I want to write a book, I write a book. If I want to sing a song, I sing a song. I've got a bucket list. I've got so many things. I want to start a school of storytelling. I'm going to work on it now. I'm now 58. I'm getting at 58. And somebody said, I'll be kyunkar, right? And I said, oh, there's no age. As long as I can do it, I will do it. Interestingly, today, I don't wait for paychecks. I make paychecks. So I'm not boasting about this. The point is that once you transcend your fear, when you go on the other side of fear, you will find life. The fear on this side will always stop you from living. But once you move on the other side of it, you will find life always. That's what I've experienced in life. This is the first piece that I want to leave people with. The second piece is what you asked me is marketing, branding, storytelling, sales. What is it that is the thing that I tell people? I tell people that, whether it's a B2B business, whether it's a B2C business, whether it's a B2C business or whatever you are doing, finally, in every situation, you have humans on the other side. And humans are, naturally connected to stories. Humans, whether it's a brand that's speaking, whether it is, a salesperson who's speaking, humans are connected to stories. If I ask you, when you travel in a plane flight, you are given a flight boarding pass. There is a number written on it, which is your seat number. How many times do you see that seat number before you sit on the seat? Even though you have seen it once, you will again, before you get into your seat, you will actually look at it again because you tend to forget in your excitement, what is that thing? And suddenly you're boarding, you still see it. But if I ask you the hare and the tortoise story, which you had heard in your school days, do you remember that? Everyone does, because a story is not forgotten. A story that is well told is retained. It is passed down the generations. Every story is like that. An organization is a story. It's the culture is a story. And strong organizations understand this power of storytelling. Strong leaders are great storytellers. They move people. They move people to a cause rather than a job by adding a story to the whole thing. They're always storytelling. A Steve Jobs is a storyteller. Any of the Indian leaders that you see who are doing well are good storytellers. Mr. Anand Mahindra is a good storyteller. Mr. Ratan Tata is a great storyteller, though he speaks very less. He's a fantastic storyteller. Mr. Narayan Murthy, when he did Infosys, when he was building it, he was a great storyteller. I worked with Ashang, he's a great storyteller. All good leaders are great storytellers. All good brands are stories. You don't buy a brand for something which is a logo. You buy a brand for a story. There is something behind it. Why do you wear a Levi's jeans? Because just turn your Levi's jeans, look at the pocket of a Levi's jeans. They write a story. This is a 125-year-old company, which has, this is for so many years we have been doing. They have a story written on the pocket of every jeans. You can buy that same product at 1/4 the price, but you buy it 4 times the price because it's got a story attached to it. And that story becomes the story of you. It is not the story of the brand. You as a consumer want to tell that story, and that becomes your story. So when you connect with that brand. So brands and social sector, I wrote the story of Adi Katam 2 days back, 3 days back. He's on the LinkedIn. He's got so much of support that has come. So he runs a nonprofit in Kupwara, in Kashmir, for girls. You know, has a happy home that he's created for girls out there, of children who have been impacted by conflict. So many people have come to support his thought, his idea, and support him. You don't have to go and ask for donations. You have to tell a story. People, when they connect with the emotion of the story, they will come and they will start joining you. You will build your tribe. You know, the bikers, you've heard about bikers. They love to get on their bikes. They want to tattoo themselves. You know, they do all that stuff. And so why? There's a story. There's a tribe built around a story. So everything, if you start, our existence has no meaning, human existence. If it was just that we are born and we die, there is no purpose of this whole thing. You know, where we just, it's the stories that keep us alive. And we create stories about nationality. We create stories around religion. We create stories around everything. Everything is a story. Ask any person, he'll tell you a story. What connects human beings is stories. So we all have a story. We are all good. We have got stories and we are storytellers. But we have forgotten this aspect and the power of what we carry with us.
Yeah.
This is what I want to say for people in sales, marketing, branding, anywhere, any leader out there listening to this, is that you have a story. Don't keep it with you. Tell your story.
So to know the secret sauce of storytelling, we have to buy your book, is it?
No, there is no secret sauce as such. I haven't yet written a book on storytelling as such, but I have written a kind of fiction story book. Second was about people I got inspired with. The second book, which I wrote, was about what I call it the 1% Club, because these are 1% people who have understood the power of how to change the world. Mm-hmm. People I had met. So it's about them. And what are the common things that I found in those people? But I think so. Yeah, this year I'm 22 is my vision to, you know, build a company around where I can pass down this skill that of 35 years to as many people as I can. And I'm thinking of building something around this, a kind of a story company, and where people can experientially, do this work of not theoretically learn it, but experientially come and experience creating stories. So this is going to be it's a work in progress. It's an idea which I just got. And I want to, you know, action this this year.
Best wishes on the idea. But my question here is, does each one of us carry a secret sauce, which is completely our personal sauce, which nobody else can create?
It is. Everyone has that. I'll tell you what, you know, a story is born out of a gap. It always starts with a gap. It's the turning points in your life that make a story. There are situations in your life which will turn you. Like by losing my job was a turning point. There will be those turning points. There will be those points in your life which will actually be the ones that will define you. It's the choices you make in those moments that define you. People who build organizations, there are certain turning points where they actually get into, you know, doing what they are doing. So every leader that I've spoken to, there will be those turning points. There's a gap. There's something which starts. The story starts with a gap. A story which is a straight line is not a story. Nobody's interested in just nothing. No, I mean, there's nothing into it, but just running straight, flat. It is when the bottom happens, when you fall. And that's when you pick yourself up. That's the gap where the story starts. And every one of us has been through that phase, because as a human, you are going to face those gaps.
Sure.
And it is, interestingly, it's an intersection of spirituality and the purpose of human existence that makes a person who is, I know this person really, who's completely paraplegic, neck downwards, mm-hmm. who is the most positive person that I have met. Imagine what can a story be of a person who's finished. I mean, he was a young 28, 29 year old guy who went through an accident on a New Year night, fell into the sea, taking a dive from the cliff. Every time he did it, he missed the dive wrongly. It hit his spine. He broke his spine at C4, C5, C6. Paralyzed for life. Can't move his body. Can't do anything on that from that moment. A young person who had traveled more than 40 countries by the time he was 29. And suddenly his life was bedridden. Nothing, absolutely nothing he could do. Not only that, in some years, his wife was detected with MS. She died with MS. So, I mean, she also became paralyzed and blind before she died. So you can imagine that kind of it's a gap of the worst kind a person can face. He wanted to commit suicide, but how does he commit? Because he can't move his body. He can't take the medicine himself. Nobody's going to give it to him. He can't jump out of his balcony, which was next to him, because he can't move. He can't put himself on the ceiling fan and, you know, kill himself. He wanted to kill because he wanted to end his life. But then he found his purpose in to learn. He learned from his lesson from his life and said, I want to send this message to as many people as I can. This is Girish Gogia's story. I know him. I met him. I did a short film with him. I spoke to him. Now, this is meaning from a gap in life. How can you create meaning? I mean, otherwise, what is the purpose? I mean, this person is, there's nothing in his life. But he is a positive. He said, if life has done this to me, it means it expects something from me, which is going to be to tell this, to make more people who are depressed, who are going through difficult times, to tell them that, no, if I can, you know, be positive, why do you have any problem? Your limbs are okay. You are able to think. He said, you know, I'm able to think. I thank myself and I'm gratitude that I'm breathing. I'm able to breathe and I'm able to think. What if something had happened to my brain?
Yeah.
So he has gratitude for what is left with him. You know, I think that's the power of individuals have this. Every individual will go through a gap in life. You will face something which is going to be challenging you sometime in your life. That gap is the point when your story gets created. And we are all story writers. So we have got the choice of writing a story. He said, you know, I can write the worst film or I can write the most inspiring story of my life. If Girish can, you know, do that, he can re-script his life. He said, I was dealt a card, right? My card was so bad that it has to be a sad story. But I decided to re-script and rewrite my story. So as story writers, we've got the choice of rewriting our story of our life. That's
wow.
The power that we carry.
Wow. And on that note, three life lessons, Sanjay, that you'd like to leave us with.
First life lesson is that find your why. Find that, people run after a job. They run after, you know, as soon as they start their career, there's something about making money. It's not that. Find your why. Find a purpose. And I've written this line, which actually turned out to be a beautiful line. It was about Adhikadam. If you have a purpose so big that you're willing to die for it, you become most alive. And you find such people who take on such audacious things in their life. The second thing is, life is going to throw you curveballs. However you plan, however your ego is going to be always saying that everything should be okay in my life. Everything should be controlled and go this way. And this is what is going to happen. But life is not going to be like that. Life is going to throw curveballs and they're going to come with suddenly and surprisingly. Like last year has been some curveballs did come into my life. At that moment, it teaches you, life teaches you the lesson of becoming humble. It teaches you to bend with the wind. It teaches you to, you know, that ego, which is that breaks your ego. And this is going to happen. And in such moments, it's not the resistance to what is happening. It is when you are in the flow and surrendering to the currents of life. That's important. How you respond to it is what is in your control. But what has happened is not in your control. But the first thing before you get there is to let go and be with the flow rather than resist the current. So life is going to throw curveballs at you. You might lose your job. You might lose something. You might lose your business. And the third thing is, I would like to, and this is something which has happened to me. That's why it's not again a theory for me. It's that this too shall pass. However tough the situations come in your life, however, you know, difficult moments that you go through in your life, know that there will be another day. That there will be a turning point. The darkest of, like, you know, pandemic, we said. From the darkest moments in the world today, when you look at it, you say, oh my God, how is it? It's not possible, right? 2 years back. pandemic was not possible. So that, you know, everything passes. The good times also will pass, by the way. So the point is, when everything passes, you know this, then this is the moment that you have. This is the moment that I'm speaking to you that I have. Live this so fully, live this so joyously, and do what you can in this moment. Because tomorrow you don't know. I don't know today evening, right? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
So I think live life to the fullest, absolutely in this moment. And I would like to leave one more thing, the fourth one. And the fourth one is, don't look at others for instructions. The whole thing is you judge our life based on what others are doing or what others are, you know, my friend is so successful. He's made so much money. He's always into that, you know, somebody else. This person, what others think of me is such a big problem for us. It doesn't matter. Actually, nobody cares for you. The day you die, within 3 days, you'll be forgotten. Only you think that you are somebody great. You know, you will be forgotten to the extent that a frame will be made and put on the wall. And then after that, the frame also will not, nobody is going to see it. This is the truth of everyone's life. That's how important you are to other people. They'll forget you the day you die. Some will forget you in, you know, two days. Some will forget you in 10 days. But everyone is going to forget you. You'll be replaced. That's how insignificant our life is. So don't even bother about what others think about it. It's your life. This moment is there. I don't know what the future is. Just live completely and don't take this out from your thinking. What others think, whether I'm getting likes, whether I'm, what others are going to feel about me. Just do what you want to do in life. Be alive. These are the four things if I have to leave people with. This is what I would leave them with. Yeah.
Powerful, Sanjay. Be alive. This moment is all that you have control over. Thank you so very much for being part of this conversation on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. An honor having you. Wishing you all the very best for your dreams and continue to tell those stories, because it definitely is making an impact. And we start realizing that we all are storytellers. All we need to do is open our eyes wider and ears even more clearer to listen to those stories, find those stories and share the stories. Have a beautiful 2023. And thank you so very much for telling us your story.
Thank you, Rashmi. Thank you for having me on your show.
Pleasure.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.